Chaos is one of the great themes of all Scripture. Chaos is how the story begins. In the beginning, there was chaos, and then God brought order from the chaos. Chaos is one of those things that is constantly breaking in, and God is constantly helping us to push back. But chaos is an interesting thing, at least as we understand it in Scripture, because it's not always what we think it is. We have an idea that it's always utter problems and total mayhem. Chaos, though, can, well, present in a wide variety of ways. It can be something that we expect, and then things that we don't expect. In fact, it's usually the unexpected chaos that's the harder one. Now, I could give you all many, many examples of chaos, of things in my life that where I thought things were going one way and they ended up going another. I'm sure many of you could give many examples of how chaos broke into perfectly laid plans and preparations. I'll give you one that's more, well, just sort of crazy and humorous on this holiday weekend than one that is necessarily hard or grief-stricken. I was a youth minister for 5 years before I became a priest, which means chaos was pretty much my entire ministry for 5 years. Working with 6th through 12th graders, that was how my work and world was. And it was to really plan and to create order out of that chaos. Now, one particular year, we had it all planned for a trip, a mission trip to Honduras. At the time, this was 1999. It was obviously before 2001 and 9/11 and all of that chaos. But we had this idea that we were going to go down, take 35 kids and 8 adults down to Honduras, build houses, and make the world a better place, working through the Episcopal Relief and Development Foundation. And we had it all planned out. Everything was ready to go. But about 2 days before we were left to depart, I realized I could not find my passport. This is a problem. So I called the airline, I called the different groups, everyone I could think of, how do I need to do this? Is there a way to get a passport, like in 2 days? What do you do? And I was assured by the airlines, don't worry, all you need is your driver's license and your birth certificate, and they'll let you into the country. And I said, great, I've got those, so we got it all ready to go. They put me on the plane, I took 35 kids and 8 adults to Honduras, and we all got down there safe and sound. And everything was going perfectly to the plan, to all the things we had lined up, until I got to customs, where I handed over a birth certificate and a driver's license, and they said, no. And 2 men with machine guns came and escorted me back onto the plane I had just gotten off of, and I went back to the United States. And there was a whole different layer of chaos, to say the least. The leader of the group was no longer with 35 kids and 8 adults. And so I'm trying to throw them things as they escort me back onto the plane. I try to deal with the anxiety that's happening over there, as well as my own anxieties. I'm now getting on a plane I just got off of. That's really not a fun flight to take twice in the same day. Or actually, just to be on a plane for 8 hours, but to have reached your destination and then have to leave it. It was utter chaos. This is, believe it or not, not too different from what we have in our readings today. For 38 years, a man is sick and hurting and dealing with chaos in his life. He's dealing with just being in a place of constant pain and discomfort. And he's in a world that probably was ultimately chaos of itself. That is the pool of Bethsaida, which was discovered only about 150 years ago. They lost it for most of antiquity. It had been lost to time, but they just found it again relatively recently. It's a giant pool. It's not, they say pool, and that has maybe one image in our head. It is roughly a football field in length, so about 300, 400 feet long, and 20 feet deep. It is an enormous pool. It's really more of a reservoir in a lot of ways. And it was a pool that the tradition holds that if there was a movement in the water, largely it was still a pool, but if there was movement in the water, it was believed that an angel's wing had touched the water And if you were the first person to get in, you would be healed of whatever your ailment was. Well, according to the ancient records, there were literally hundreds of people seeking to be healed. And so any time that water stirred, suddenly all these people were trying to jump in the pool, climbing all over each other in utter chaos. It's in that context that Jesus shows up and sees a man who has been hurting for so long, he doesn't even know what to ask. And look again, the man doesn't ask to be healed. He doesn't even know what's going on. Jesus asks him, do you want to be made well? And the man can only ask, I can't get in the pool. I can't get down there. No one will help me. He lives in such chaos, he can't figure out what to do or what comes next. That's a chaos that we perhaps can understand, one that we've seen. And then there's another kind of chaos that we don't talk about. And that's the chaos that Lydia is living in the New Testament reading in Acts. Lydia is a dyer of purple cloth. Now, if you don't know what that means, it is code for she's really rich and really well connected. In the ancient world, to make a purple cloth, you had to do an amazing amount of work. There was a particular snail indigenous just to a certain part of the Mediterranean, and you would have to grind it up to make a purple, well, dye. But it's not just, that sounds like some work, but it took 10,000 snails to make 1 ounce of dye. It was incredibly labor-intensive, time-intensive, money-intensive, so only truly the royalty, that is, the ruling class of Rome, were the only ones allowed to have purple vestments. And they wouldn't have full purple vestments. They would literally just have one strip on their garment. That's all even those guys could afford. And so Lydia is a person who makes the dye, who sells it to the richest of the rich, who is the most connected of all. And yet she is in chaos. She is unconnected and untethered and feels lost. And it's not until Paul shows up and begins to talk about the church in a different way that things change in her life. We all know what chaos is. We've all been in that in our life one way or another. Sometimes it is from unexpected illness. Sometimes it's from tragedy. Sometimes it's just I got stuck in a rut and I didn't even realize I was messed up until something came and shook me awake. The interesting thing for all of these stories, all three stories that I've shared with you, is the resolution to them. Yes, Jesus heals the man by Bethsaida, but he heals him and restores him to community. He brings him not just to health, but it's pointedly says that it's the Sabbath and that he is brought back in. There's an implication that he is brought back into community through his healing. Even more, for Lydia, she is not just one who learns about God and says, great, she actually begins to invite Paul over, and from there a ministry begins, and Lydia is considered by many to be one of the first female clergy in the history of the church. She goes on to preach and teach and share the good news of Jesus Christ and changes much of her life. I got stuck in Houston for about a day, trying to figure out how to get back to Honduras to work with all those 35 kids and 8 adults, worried about what would happen. And it took a village to get me back there. I had to call a friend who was a friend who worked at a senator's office to get a passport to get me back into the country. And the interesting thing is, if you were ever in the, well, actually, I don't know if I should tell that story, but if you were ever in the passport office, there are lots of little lines, and you go to a line to sort of talk about why they should give you a passport, an expedited passport. And you learn a lot when you're sort of in that chaos because you're talking to other people, one who just didn't realize their passport had expired the day before. And, well, this one lady had discovered her passport had expired the day before. She went to one line on one side of the room and told them the truth, that she just didn't realize the passport had expired the day before and she was going to London to see a friend. And they said, well, we're not going to help you. So she went to the other side of the line and said, my dad's sick in London and I've got to get there. And they gave her the passport. I didn't tell you to do that. But in all cases, there was a certain idea that we can't handle it by ourselves when there's chaos, but you could handle it in community. That you can't make it out of those situations by yourself. As the man says by the pool of Bethesda, no one will help me. I can't even get into the pool. I just need someone to help. And so Jesus helps. Lydia is lost in her wealth and connection, but she finds with Paul that there is more than money and power in the world and begins a new ministry and a new life. I learned that even if you're an idiot and you forget your passport and you can't get into a country, that there are people who will help you in the world and get you back to doing the work that you need to do, and you're not alone in it. The power of the readings this day are just that, that we are called to be together as a community, that if there is someone that we know in need, that we should reach out and care for them, and it's just that easy. That's where healing happens. Not necessarily cosmic healing where all of their illnesses and diseases and everything's fixed, but there's power in just knowing that you're not alone and God is with you. On this day, I pray that you can hear those words. You can find that connection. And if you can't find it, that you can be the connection to another. That we can grow as a community and realize that God is calling us to health and to fullness together as God's kingdom. Amen.